don't know how much I'll say to you, but I want to read this a little bit. And I want you to listen from the lips of a wise man over in Proverbs. And I want you to listen as to what God thinks about the wicked. I'm just going to skip about here and just read a few little things. Proverbs 10 says in the beginning, a wise son maketh a glad father. That's a spiritual son as well. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The memory of the just is blessed. Blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. It says the wise in heart will receive commandments when you command him. He that walketh upright walketh surely, but he that perverteth his way shall be known. In the lips of him that hath understanding wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. I want you to listen close to these things to see how God feels about the wicked. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, but when the wicked perish, there is shouting. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand joined in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman, which is without discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. You know, this is a good thought right here. I found this to be absolutely the truth. A man that hates reproof, whereas the Bible tells us to reprove, a man that hates reproof and he gets upset when you reprove him, the Bible said he's a brutish man. Bible speaks of brute beasts made to be taken and burned. And a person that don't like for you to reprove him, if you'll search deep enough, you'll find he's a brute beast. He's brutish. He's cruel in his decisions. He's cruel in his actions. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh a shame is as rottenness in his bones. Here's another thought that is great. A woman that is clean, cut, upright, but is not in admiration or desire of any other man, is called a crown to her husband. But one that maketh ashamed, that brings him into contempt, brings him into shame, that doeth the things that are not right in her desires and her inward thoughts, is rottenness in his bones. Paul speaks of the day when God shall judge the secrets of men's heart according to his gospel. Most people, as a rule, they fail to recognize that God is interested in the secret thoughts down deep in the secret chambers of their heart. The thoughts that you think, he said, I will feed you the fruits of your thoughts. The thoughts that you think, the way that your spirit goes, the thoughts that you have in your heart, the things that you think upon, the things that you desire, the impulses, the reflex, and the intents of your heart will condemn you in the day of the judgment. You might say, how do you know, Brother Pike? I know because the Bible says so. But I also know because discernment shows it. I can walk by a person and their reflex not be right. Their thoughts, their motive, the intents of their heart, and an evil spirit will go by. That's why I know that in the day of the judgment, God is going to condemn the wicked and turn them into hell, because the intents of their heart wasn't right. That's why God delighted in David. Though David made a terrific blunder, a mistake that God suffered him to make to bring in a revelation of God, of the Gentile world coming in, yet the Bible said his heart was perfect before God. Every intent of his heart was clean. He prayed God for the forgiveness of the intent of his heart. And had not it been that he was to be a type of Christ Jesus, to go through the suffering that he was to go through with, and to be made sin when he did not have a sinful heart by suffering the corruption that he fell into and all of the evils that befell him in all of his sufferings, if it had not been for an ordination of God, he would never have done that. Never. Because his heart was too perfect before God to do it. It says here, the mouth, the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. All right, I want to talk with you just a few minutes, and then we're going to let you go. I feel in my heart that so many times that we get the feeling that we are all right. I know it's good to feel that you're all right. We should feel that we're all right. But when we feel that we're all right, we should be all right.
Amen.
A man should never try to convince himself intellectually that he is all right, when he knows that something inside of his heart is warring against that and telling him that he needs to pray, that he needs to apologize to his neighbor, that he needs to straighten out the error of his ways. When a man overrides his conscience and overrides what his heart is telling him, overrides the dictates of the conscience here, then a man gets past feeling. And once the man gets past feeling, he gets given over to a reprobate mind. And once he is given over to a reprobate mind, he can do anything that he wants to, and it won't bother him. He can lie, he can cheat, he can swindle, he can do anything that he wants to. It doesn't bother him. He can lust, he can hate, he can fight, covet his neighbor's goods, but it doesn't bother him. He can go to church, he can take the reproof of the minister, not pay a bit of attention to it. It doesn't bother him because he is past feeling. Paul spoke in one place that these people are past feelings. Having seared their conscience with a hot iron, they've got past feeling. There is such a thing as searing your conscience with a hot iron and just feeling like you're the best feller in the world or the best woman in the world when you're more wretched than anybody else in the whole neighborhood. You can actually get to the place to where God can send you a strong delusion, and you can get the feeling that you are elect and on your way to heaven when you are almost ready to fall into the flames of the pit. I'd rather have the fear of God in my heart and feel that I need to pray every night, every day, and know that I need to pray, feel that way, than to go around with a more holier-than-thou attitude. The one thing that God hates. The Bible tells us to fear. A lot of people say, well, I don't think we ought to fear, but the Bible says to fear. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't feel like I ought to fear, but the Bible said to fear. It said not to be high-minded, but to fear. How many of you really do that? I can tell by your countenance. I can tell by the way you present yourself. I can tell by the way you come to the house of God that you don't fear. I can tell by the warnings that I give you, by the dreams that I tell you, by the visions that are made known to you, by your daily life and everything that you do, that you don't fear. You don't have the fear of God within you. I can tell that you don't fear. The Bible said, he that feareth and trembleth at my word, you don't fear. And you don't tremble at the word of God. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, with all love and respect, if you are not in a position to fear and tremble at the word of God, you are not in a position to make the rapture or to go to heaven. The man that cannot fear and tremble at the word of God needs to be born again. The woman that doesn't fear and tremble at the word of God doesn't have salvation. If any man seem to be religious among you, and we've got a lot of women and a lot of men that seem to be religious, and they feel they're religious, but if any of them seems to be religious among you, the Bible said if he don't bridle his tongue, that man's religion is vain. If he just always has to say something to a brother, or say something to somebody else, or say something to his neighbor that's not upright, that's not according to God, that just pleases his feelings and makes him feel better, the man isn't right with God. He isn't born again. He doesn't fear. He should fear. He should tremble. He should bridle his tongue. Then his religion wouldn't be in vain. Any church that doesn't support the weak, that doesn't help the widows. And when I say widows, I mean those that are widows indeed. I don't mean those that sit around and dip snuff and spit, curse and drink and frolic and gossip and wander about from place to place, finding fault and talking, backbiting. But I mean widows that are widows indeed, the Bible said. Any church that doesn't uphold the need of the orphans and the widows is not accepted in the sight of God. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is to visit the orphans and the widows in their afflictions and keep yourself unspotted from the world. The man that does not keep himself unspotted from the world, he doesn't have salvation. The man that stumbles into this and stumbles into that and stumbles into something else, he doesn't have salvation. The man that's always sinning over here and sinning over yonder, sinning somewhere else, it doesn't matter how many times he repents, he doesn't have salvation. People will come and say, but brother, don't you know that you've done so and so and you've done such and such, and don't you know that you need to go pray and talk to God? I know that we need to pray. I know that we need to be in fellowship with God. Well, let me tell you something, Christian friend. The Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself. Are you listening? I said, the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself. A lot of times you want to point your finger at a real child of God and say, yes, I know that I've done so and so, but you've done it too. But the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. The man that's born of God, Satan has never touched him in his entire lifetime. Satan shall never touch him. Never touch him. Hallelujah. The man that is born of God keepeth himself. He's got the power to become the Son of God. And he keepeth himself. God gives him the power to keep himself. And the evil one never at any time of his whole Christian experience touches him. The evil one never touches him. He is without spot. He is without wrinkle. He is without blemish or any such thing. Are you listening? Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I thought, but that isn't the way it is it? That's not the way it is. It's not the way you thought, is it? Somebody would say, but I believe, but it isn't the way you believe, is it? It's the way God's Word says it. The Bible said, he that is born of God, the man that's had a born-again experience, Jim, he that is born of God, he keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Then why do you try to accuse? Why do you try to find fault? Somebody would say, well, preacher, why do you find fault? I'm not finding fault. You can't lay anything to charge of God's elect. It is God that justifies. It is Christ that died and is risen and sitting at the right hand of God. That maketh intercession. No man can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He has sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus on the tree. They are without spot. They are without blemish. The evil one toucheth them not. And when the Lord comes back from heaven, he's going to have a glorious church that the evil one did not touch, without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. Is that right? Amen. Somebody would say, but I thought, but it wasn't that way. Well, I thought that the ministry, Brother Pike, was set here to perfect the saints. And that is true. But not the way that you expect them to perfect the saints. You understand what I'm saying? It's not the way that you expect the perfection. Paul said, we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. I'm set here tonight to perfect your faith. I can't perfect you as far as the do's and don'ts of life. God doesn't save you according to the do's and don'ts of life. He doesn't save you according to the errors that you make, the stumblings in life. God doesn't save you that way. The Bible said we're not saved by the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It doesn't matter if you quit drinking, quit smoking. It doesn't matter if you quit chewing and quit dipping, quit going to the bathing pools, quit fighting, quit shooting pool, quit gambling. And you ought to quit all of that. But that doesn't mean that you are a Christian. People have done that all down through the years. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that you are a Christian because you come up here and pray and because you shed a few tears up here. That doesn't mean that you're Christian. You follow me? It doesn't prove anything because you prayed and because you cried. Somebody said, but I cry every service. There is people that do that almost with a regularity. I knew a man that every time the service started, he cried, but he was mighty hard in some things because I've seen him. Because you cry, that doesn't mean you got anything. Because you pray, that doesn't mean you got anything. Because you fast, that doesn't mean you got anything. There's men that fast 30 and 50 days at a time are some of the worst, wretched, most miserable people and preachers in the world. Both alive. That don't prove a thing. Because that's not what it is. I'm not set here as a minister, nor is any other minister set in the church to perfect you in the sense of do's and don'ts. Because I can tell you all the do's and don'ts that I want to, and it's my job to tell you the do's and don'ts. But no matter how much I tell you those things, you're not going to obey them. You're not going to obey them. That's exactly why the Lord Jesus came and hung at Calvary and died, because people would not obey what God asked them to do. He said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor thy neighbor's ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie. And many, many other things. But did the people do it? Did they do it? Did Israel obey that? Isn't it a true fact that God told Moses to just give them a writing of divorcement for the hardness of their heart, and he went right on committing adultery, marrying one time and two times and 10 times, whatever it was? Don't they do the same thing today? They went right on doing it. God told them not to do it. In the days of David, wasn't the law still there? And in the days of Solomon, when the Bible said that thou shalt not commit adultery? But didn't David marry a whole slew of women? Didn't Solomon marry a whole slew of women? And yet the law was there. That's why David suffered like he did. Somebody said, well, what happened to Solomon? From all the looks of the record, he didn't even make it in at all. The only way that Solomon would ever get in is that the Bible said the whole house of Israel shall be saved. Because it's brought out over in the Old Testament concerning Solomon, how that God warned him a number of times in a dream and he disobeyed God. Took pagan wives and brought in pagan religions. So then it doesn't matter how much the minister tells you not to do this or not to do that. You're going to do it anyway. I tell you not to backbite, you're going to do it anyway. So then, who can be saved? I'm set here as a minister to perfect your faith in God. And as you come to believe in the Word of God, when you really come to believe in the Word of God, somebody would say, well, that's the way I've already always believed it. It's like Billy Graham told it to the people. Or taught it. If I just believe, that'll take care of it. I've always believed, like Brother Roberts and some of the rest of them said, all you got to do is just believe and that takes care of it. If that's true, then the Bible's wrong, because it said faith without works is dead. One writer said, can faith alone save you? Somebody would say, well, that's what I've always believed, Brother Pike. If I just believe, regardless to what I do, God's going to save me. No, that isn't it at all. But when you come to believe, I'm here to perfect your faith. When you come to believe what I tell you in the Word, then you will obey what I tell you to do. For your faith is made manifest by your deeds. The writer said, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you what I believe but what I do. My faith, my believing compels me to do a certain thing. Whatever you believe, it's what you do. Whatever you do, that's what you believe. So then that's the way that God's going to judge in the day of judgment. If I can perfect your faith in God's word, I won't have to worry about the do's and don'ts. If I can perfect your heart, then I don't have to worry about the outer man, because faith in God's word will make you tremble and make you shudder at the word of God, and it'll make you turn away from every sinful thing you've ever done in your life. I know that's true. Faith in God's word. God purifies my heart. How does he do it? The Bible said he is looking for the upright in heart. Isn't that right? That he might, his eyes are to and fro in the earth, searching for the upright in heart, that he might show himself strong in the behalf of the upright in heart. Is that right? He purifies my heart. How does God purify my heart? By faith. By faith. How then can I have faith if I don't have any condemnation? If I do the things that please God, if I do always the things that please God as Jesus did, then the condemnation will leave. If I try with all my heart to love him with all my strength, all my mind, all of my ability, all that I understand, then the condemnation will leave, and then I can believe. And then when my heart believes, then the Spirit of God will come in through my believing by the grace of Calvary, the act of Calvary, and that Spirit will purify my spirit until God's Spirit and my spirit becomes one spirit. Without condemnation, there is faith. Without obeying the Word of God, indeed, there is no faith, because there is no removing of condemnation. Love eradicates condemnation. The Bible said there is no weapon formed that shall prosper against thee. If a man is a Christian, it doesn't matter what kind of tale bearing. You just simmer down. I'm not fixing to let you go. You just jump my gun. Simmer down. I ain't through. There is no kind of weapon, no kind of weapon that is formed against thee that shall prosper. There is no weapon that shall prosper against thee. If a man lift up his tongue against a Christian, God will tear him up. Beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. There is no kind of weapon. Sharpen your tongue like the arrows. Turn it into a sword, but it won't prosper against the righteous. God will confound the wicked. God spoke to Israel and said, Israel, there is no weapon formed against thee that shall prosper. America can make atomic bombs, and Russia can make bazookas and missiles and whatever they want to, but there's not one weapon in the earth that they can make that will ever prosper against the Jews. Now, they can shoot them at one another, and they'll prosper in shooting at one another, in that God will let them kill one another out. But the day that they turn toward the Jew, God will turn against their weapons. Not one weapon formed against thee shall prosper. That's us too. Nothing formed against us. They can do all they want to do in the law. They can do all they want to do or anything else. It won't prosper. There's Tom Hodges over yonder. Just been in the hospital. Cut, they said, from his head to his feet. He didn't treat us right out here. We spent thousands of dollars with him, and he treated us like dirt. Gave us nothing in return. And I said, God will get him for it. He was cut from his head, they said, all the way to his feet in the hospital. Laid there in a dying condition. Just bought a great fleet of trucks. I believe run about $100,000. I'm not sure. But a tremendous amount. And about the time he got them, the depression hit and everything went down. And today, he's still in a sick condition. Everything is caving in on him. Now he wants our business. They went to the trouble to call to try to get it. Numbers of others that we've mentioned from the pulpit in this area right here that's risen up against us, in businessmen and in every other way. that it's going to take real faith in God to make it in. This thing of more holier than thou and feeling that we've done what we're supposed to do, when sometimes we're the most wretched one of all when we take that attitude.
That's right.
That will never get us in. But when we take faith in God's Word, not faith that we belong to God and faith that we are Christians and faith that we are secure in God, but when we take faith in the Word of God and we make the Word of God part of our life and begin to live the Word of God and manifest the Word of God in our life, then, Johnny, are we children of God? I want to say these few words in closing. The Bible said, search the Scriptures. How many believe you ought to do a little searching in the Scriptures? How many of you ever do any searching in the Scriptures? Let me see your hands. Search the Scriptures, said, for in them, in the Scriptures, said, you think that you have eternal life. Is that right? It said, search the Scriptures, for in the Scriptures you believe that you have eternal life. Is that right? But the Bible said, they are they that testify of me. Is that right? Jesus said in the law to the Jews, search the Old Testament. You think you have eternal life back there in them, according to what the prophet said. But said, I've come and it's a new day. Said, these are they that testify of Jesus in the new age. These that testify of the Word of God. If you testify of the Word of God, if your spirit testifies of the Word of God, if your spirit testifies of the things of God in your daily activities, if your faith, Jesus said, he that heareth my words and keepeth them, or he that doeth the things that I tell him to do.
Hallelujah.
Is that right? Not everyone shall inherit the kingdom. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. What is the will of the Father? He said, as it is written, O God, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. Is that right? So then the Word is Christ Jesus, the will of God. He that taketh the example to follow in his step, to do the will of God, to make the Word of God your life and your activity, then that's salvation. That's a Christian. The ones that doesn't do it doesn't have salvation. All right, now, I've got a sister here. She doesn't pay any attention. Her spirit has no real interest in what I'm doing. Once in a while, it will catch her interest. But let me tell you something, sister. You hear me. Down the road, if you know what I know and what I see ahead for you, you'll be one of the best listeners in here. But since you don't know, you go right on doing what you want to do. But just leave it alone, and one day we'll have a good listener if you survive the crisis. I want you to stand with me. I want to say tonight that I appreciate your attention, I appreciate your listening. Coming out on the rainy night, and of course the fall season is setting in now, and we'll probably have rainy seasons for a long time. I believe that they announced over the radio that the rainy season may last 3 days in succession. Is that right, Eddie? Brother Atlee and them worked out in the rain, Jim and Atlee and some of them worked out in the rain today to finish cutting a drain down here so that the foundation wouldn't be overflowed with the mud and the water. And I really appreciate people that'll get out in the rain and work the way that they did. But let me tell you, children of God, there's a lot to do. Don't sit down and say there's nothing to do. Some of you are letting the others carry the load. Brother Atlee sat at my table today and he was very grieved. The Bible teaches it's unprofitable to grieve the man of God. But he said, Brother Pike, he said, I get so grieved. He didn't use that term, but it was the same expression or the meaning. He said, I see men come up when I'm working. watch him come up. And he said he sees him turn and ease off. He said, when I get through working, I see the same men come back up. And they're ready to fellowship some. That gets kind of hard, don't it? That gets kind of grievous. Is that right? Why can't we share? The Bible said, you see your brother have need. I said, what do you mean need? Need of help?
That's right.
Shut up your bowels of compassion. Just walk off and leave him. Said, how dwelleth the love of God in you? Last night he was digging. And he said, Brother Pike, I was quivering. Said, I've done dug so much. That in here got so nervous, I was quivering. Nobody was helping him. Nobody. And when we finally, Jim and Gilbert, I believe, come up and gave him a hand and helped finish digging the ditch. A lot of you stay down here at the trailer court and you don't make any effort to come up here. A lot of you stay at home when you're not doing anything. A lot of you just ride around. A lot of the women could help in a lot of ways and a lot of things. They don't do anything but spend their time riding around. But the Bible said, in the day of judgment, ye shall give an account for every deed done in the body. Every deed. Every deed. Every one you ever done, whether good or bad, you'll give an account for it in the day of judgment. And said, every word you ever spoke, whether in secret, whether in the preacher's presence, we're out of the preacher's presence, whether it was an evil word or whether it was a clean word, you'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And by your words, a lot of folks say, well, I think I'll be justified by faith. The Bible said, by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. And Paul said, God shall judge the secrets. How do you know you got some secrets down in your heart? Some skeletons in the closet, they call it. And God shall judge the secrets of men's heart by my gospel. So all them secret things that Brother Pike sees through the Spirit that you feel that nobody knows anything about, and the ones that God doesn't allow me to see, in that day you'll give an account thereof. Every one of them will be made manifest. All right, let's sing a little chorus together.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there.